You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Eagles fans? Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Close that door behind you and lock it. Let's get locked in on the birds. Welcome into the show, Friday edition of Locked On Eagles. We are 2 days away from potentially the Eagles' final game of the season. Let's hope not. They play Washington fighting for their playoff lives. They need a win and a Chicago Bears win against Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings to get into the postseason for the second straight year and hoping to defend their Super Bowl crown from 2017. Hope everybody enjoyed their holiday. I know I did. Got some cool Eagles stuff. Got a Rasul Douglas customized hoodie, so that's a big one for the brand. It's funny people know I'm such a big Rasul Douglas supporter, but I've been getting Eagle stuff for Christmas. Basically, that's all I get since I was probably 10 years old, so I got some good stuff. I hope everybody enjoyed their holiday. And, you know, the one annoying part of the holiday season for me was everybody knows that I host the Locked On Eagles podcast in my family, and I've been a diehard Eagles fan since I was, you know, like 5 years old. And every question I got from, you know, outside fans, I live in Buffalo, New York, so there's a lot of Bills fans up here. A lot of my family's from Philadelphia, so they're in tune with what's going on with the Eagles. And the same question I got, and I'm sure a lot of you fans got the same thing, I know my co-host Gino Camilleri did, was, oh, is Nick Foles the guy? Like, are they going to trade Carson Wentz? It's just everyone was commenting on this Foles-Wentz controversy, I guess you could say, even though there's not really controversy at all. And we've been talking about it for weeks, and it's been on the radio every single day that you tune in trying to hear Eagles talk. So I'm not going to get into it anymore on this podcast. But yeah, that was basically all I had to answer during the holiday season. So I'm a little bit tired of hearing about that topic. So what we're going to get into today is why you should be feeling good that regardless of who's at quarterback, the Eagles could and likely will be playing next week in the wild card round against either the Chicago Bears or the Los Angeles Rams. And, you know, you shouldn't be feeling as confident as you were a couple days ago because Bears head coach Matt Nagy said today that Allen Robinson is doubtful, as well as their best safety, Eddie Jackson. Robinson and Jackson, I've been a big fan of both of those guys since they've come out from the draft. And it's been two of the key players that have helped the Bears get back on track this year as a three seed. And not having those two will be big against Minnesota, but you should still be feeling good because this Chicago team defensively is a juggernaut. Matt Nagy is one of the best play callers in the NFL. He comes from the Andy Reid coaching tree, much like Doug Peterson and their buddies. Doug Peterson said he even called them up already, hoping the Bears really give it their all in this game. And the Bears are going to try. This is the thing, is Nagy said that they want to win this game. And of course, every coach is going to say that. They're not going to say they're throwing away a football game. Although if they don't get the bye week, I feel like they would almost rather lose and play Minnesota in the first round than play Philadelphia. I would not want to play this Eagles team in the playoffs. But regardless, they're going to try to get that two seed. And the way they do that is if they beat Minnesota and the Rams lose to San Francisco, which isn't very likely, but San Fran's been sticking around the past few weeks. You even saw they made Eagles fans sweat it out last week, almost beating Chicago, which would have been big because then the Bears wouldn't have a chance this week for a bye week, and we'd be seeing Chase Daniel trying to save the Eagles season. And as Eagles fans, we know how dangerous that would be, relying on Chase Daniel to do anything. But it's a big one, though. The 49ers, they need to beat the Rams to give the Bears a chance. The Bears game was flexed to a 4:25 start with the Eagles and Washington game, as well as the Rams and 49ers. So all the big games that have this serious playoff implications are going on at the same time, which stinks for Eagles fans because the Bears game was before the Rams game, so they would have played their starters the entire time. Whereas now, maybe at halftime, they see the Rams are pulling away from the 49ers, and this game, maybe it's a two-score game, the Vikings are leading, they might decide, let's give it up, let's put Chase Daniel in there, and let's get healthy and get ready to play these guys again next week in the wild card round at Soldier Field, because this game is going to be in Minnesota. Which isn't a terrible, it's not an advantage for Minnesota, because both these teams can win defensive games, they both have great defenses, but they both have a lot of talent on offense as well, so I feel like Chicago can win indoors in Minnesota as well. So I'm feeling pretty good about it. Not having Robinson or Eddie Jackson is going to be tough for Chicago, but look, any time that you can have Kirk Cousins being either the reason you make it or you don't, I'm going to feel pretty confident, because Kirk Cousins, you know, he's one of the biggest choke artists in the NFL, and I still can't believe the Vikings gave him the money they did. But they did. They thought he was going, and fully guaranteed money, they thought he was going to be the step from the NFC Championship game to the Super Bowl, which I think is hilarious considering since last year, he's won 7-1 against teams with a winning record. In total, his entire career, he's beaten 5 teams with a 500 record or above. That was the record so far this year, and maybe he got a win against anyone during the season that might make it 6 wins, but regardless, it was heading into the season, it was like 5-20, and now I think it's like 5-22-1 or something like that, where he can't beat good football teams. And look, this happened to Kirk Cousins a couple years ago, where Washington needed to beat the Giants in Week 17 to make the playoffs. Kirk Cousins throws a late interception, choked it away. It's what he does, and I'm feeling confident that, look, if Kirk Cousins is the reason we miss the playoffs, or it's because the Eagles lose to Josh Johnson in Washington, I know it's an NFC East rival, it's going to want to play spoiler, but, you know, I'm feeling good about what they have to do to get in. And, of course, it stinks that they can't control their own destiny. But again, I have never been a believer in Kirk Cousins. I think he is very average at best. I think he's maybe a top 16 quarterback in the NFL. But I mean, when you go down the line, how much better is he than Alex Smith? How much better is he than Ryan Tannehill? How much better is he than Joe Flacco? I think he's a lot closer to that tier than he is the Russell Wilsons and the Carson Wentz, or even, heck, the Nick Foles. I think Nick Foles is a better quarterback than Kirk Cousins. I think you put Nick Foles with Minnesota, and they're a better football team. And I don't feel like that should be a bold take, considering Nick Foles has won a Super Bowl. He has been a playoff performer. You know, yeah, he's caught lightning in a bottle, and there's been times, the majority of his career, actually, he's been a backup when based on his play on the field, but then there's these legendary moments that he is capable of pulling off, like last week against Houston, like the NFC Championship game in the Super Bowl. Kirk Cousins has never done anything close to that in his career. The best he's done is get into a wild card game against the Green Bay Packers where they got smacked and he just did not play well at all. So believe in Kirk Cousins as the choke artist, and I think we can get this done. Again, the Bears are going to play their starters. What we need is for the 49ers to keep it close at halftime with the Rams. What stinks now is that these games are going on at the same time, but luckily still, the games are going on at the same time. It's not like the Rams game is first and the Bears game's after, because then if the Rams won, the Bears would just be playing Chase Daniel and the backups, because there'd be nothing to play for other than potentially putting your players at risk for injury just for a feel-good game against it'd be nice. I'm sure they want to end their division rivals' playoff hunt this year, but again, if they didn't have anything to play for, I would rather play Minnesota with Kirk Cousins than play Nick Foles or Carson Wentz and the Philadelphia Eagles in the playoffs. So the good thing is that both games are still going on at the same time. That's the thing is here. Matt Nagy said maybe if the game's out of hand between San Fran and L.A. and he gets word of that, he might consider pulling his starters. That's why we need that halftime where Matt Nagy's going to go inside, and I'm sure he's going to know the score. He's going to keep it. He's going to get updated by somebody about that game. We need Nick Mullins to keep it close with the Rams. We need the 49ers to keep it a 1 to maybe a 10-point game against the Rams in the second half. Just don't let it be a blowout in the first half so that Chicago keeps Mitch Trubisky and the starters in that game. Just keep Khalil Mack on the field, because at any moment he can strip sack Kirk Cousins and win that football game over Minnesota and send the Eagles into the playoffs. So we need San Francisco to keep it close at halftime, where I think that's the only time Chicago is going to check in on that game. I don't think at halfway through the third quarter, I just don't see someone going into Matt Nagy's ear and saying, hey, San Francisco is down by 17 points now. Do you want to pull it? I mean, maybe it depends on if the Bears are losing pretty badly. Maybe they're down 17 points and it's just not in the cards. But if it's a 1 or 2 score game, I don't think someone's going to be pumping into his headset, the game score of the Rams and the 49ers. So we're relying on Kirk Cousins to choke. We're relying on the Eagles to beat Josh Johnson. And we're relying on Nick Mullins to keep it close with Jared Goff and the Rams. I think that's, look, there's a lot that needs to be done, but I think it's a very realistic scenario. And I'm a big believer in this, that I think the Eagles can squeak into the playoffs. And if they do, they can do some damage. The good news, Jared Goff, so we need the 49ers to keep it close with the Rams. Jared Goff has been really bad lately. He's been really bad. And Eagles fans, we've seen this. We saw it just 2 weeks ago, how that banged up Eagles defense attacked Jared Goff. Fletcher Cox was all over him. He crumbled in pressure. They were basically running just play action rollouts for him. to get the ball out quickly and to get into his weapons' hands because he couldn't make anything happen by himself. So listen to this. The past three games, Jared Goff has one touchdown passed and five interceptions. He has one passing touchdown and five picks in the past three games. And they beat up on the Cardinals last week, but they're the worst team in football. And the 49ers, yeah, they might be the second worst team in football, but the Niners have actually kept it pretty close in the past month of the season. They've kept it one-score games with teams like the Bears last week, where the Niners, they remember they stripped Allen Robinson with that final possession and had the ball trying to take the lead. They were down 14-9. They lost the game, evidently, but Kyle Shanahan gets the most out of his quarterbacks, and I feel like they can keep it close against the Rams, and that's all we need to convince Chicago to keep their starters in to give the Eagles a chance. So it's kind of a three-way, you know, trifecta here with the Eagles, how they make the playoffs. Obviously, they have to get the job done, but they kind of need the Niners to keep it close, so then the Bears want to keep it close still with Minnesota. And Chicago's a better team than the Vikings, so should they be favored if they have their starters in? I mean, it's in Minnesota, but again, I'm pretty confident in Chicago, indoors or outdoors, because again, they're a team, much like the Eagles, much like the Vikings, that they can win with offense, but they can win with defense as well. Let's take a quick break here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. When we come back, we'll get a little bit more into this playoff scenario for how the Eagles can make it and a potential reunion again with DeSean Jackson. We're going to get into those rumors. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back into Locked On Eagles, this Friday edition of the show. Louis DiBiase joining you. If you missed any of our past shows, again, we only recorded two this week with the holidays happening on Monday. So Sunday, we recap that crazy game against Houston, so we appreciate if you get back into that one. Got into a lot of stuff about that and the potential playoff berth for the Eagles this week. And then on Wednesday, Gino was joined by a new member of Locked On Eagles, Tyler Staggy, which we're very pleased to be joined by him on the network. He's going to join us a couple times a week with Staggy Stance, which is a weekly segment we'll do where he's not a hot take artist on Twitter, but he's a big opinion. He's a guy that's very opinionated, and he thinks much like me and Gino, so we're going to get his thoughts on something each week, so we really are excited about him coming on board. So Tyler and Gino, they got into the Redskins-Eagles matchup on Sunday, on Wednesday, so you can find that show and all our previous shows on LockedOnEagles.com and wherever you listen to podcasts, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play. Just tell Siri or whoever you have, tell your Amazon, whatever, what is the name? I can't even remember, the crazy AI. I'm not a big AI guy. AI kind of scares me. I don't have one, so I can't think of the name right now, but just tell them to play Locked On Eagles and you'll get it going. You'll hear my stupid voice or Geno's talking about the Birds, spewing nonsense about Rasul Douglas and about Avante Maddox balling out again against the Texans last week. Hopefully we get to see those guys one more week after the Washington game if the Eagles can make the playoffs. And look, if the Bears help the Eagles get in. So last year, the Bills, they needed help, much like the Eagles this year, where the Buffalo Bills, to end their 17-year playoff drought, they needed to beat the Dolphins and they needed the Ravens to lose against the Cincinnati Bengals. And it was a crazy finish where Dalton hooked up with Tyler Boyd on a 4th-and-long for a touchdown. The Bengals win the game. The Bills beat the Dolphins, and they get sent into the playoffs as the 6th seed. So it's basically the same scenario for the Eagles. The Bills sent thank-you chicken wings to the Cincinnati Bengals. If the Bears beat the Vikings and the Eagles take care of business against Washington, the Eagles need to send thank you cheesesteaks to the Bears. I don't know where from. Pats and Geno's, I know, are the two popular ones. Some people think they're the touristy ones, although I still think they're pretty damn good steaks. Steve's Prince of Steaks is probably the one I would send to them. So because we got to get the best of Philadelphia for Chicago if they get us in, I think sending Steve's Prince of Steaks, I think those cheesesteaks are the ones we would send to Chicago if the Eagles make the playoffs. And look, if they get it, I'm getting a Trey Burton Bears jersey. I think that's that's the right one to go to. UB star Khalil Mack, he went to the University of Buffalo, where I work at WGR Sports Radio 550 up here, and right next to the University of Buffalo. So I'm a big fan of Khalil Mack, but look, Trey Burton, Mr. Philly Special himself, if he helps get it done on Sunday, tries to help out his former team, I'm getting me a Trey Burton Bears jersey. I don't know if it's going to be an official one. Maybe I'll get one from China, but I got to represent the Bears in some way if they help us get in. And obviously it all starts with beating Washington. And the Eagles, they've had their seasons ended by Washington a couple times in the past 4 years. Remember back in 2014, they suffered that tough loss against Dallas on Sunday Night Football, which really hurt their chances. Dallas took the lead for the division, but they still, with a win on Saturday Night Football, I believe it was, although I think maybe both, again, in 2015 it was Saturday Night Football as well, where the Eagles needed to beat Washington to keep their playoff hopes alive, and look, DeSean Jackson spoiled it for them. 2014, their season ended that way. They missed the playoffs at 10-6. If they would have won that game at 11-5, they would have made it, even as a wild card. And then in 2015, the year Chip Kelly got fired, believe it or not, the Eagles win that football game against the Redskins in Week 16. Remember that game famously for Mr. Kirk Cousins himself, almost choking it once again. He kneeled it at the end of the first half instead of spiking it to try to stop the clock. So that's the guy that's trying to end the Eagles season next week, is that guy, Kirk Cousins, the guy that kneeled instead of spiked the football. That's, to me, a guy that I have a lot of faith that he's going to choke once again. But look, good thing no DeSean Jackson this time for Washington, because he always played spoiler. He was really the Eagle killer when he wasn't with Philadelphia, when he was in Washington, and we saw it week two this year. He can still do some damage. Coming up next on the podcast, DeSean Jackson back in Philadelphia. There's rumors swirling once again that DeSean Jackson could be in Philadelphia next year with the Birds. Look, I know the playoffs are almost here. If the Eagles can make it, it's big. They just need the Redskins win, a team that they should easily beat. It's a division rival. Division rivals always play closer than other teams. Washington has a pretty good defense. They're 14th in pass. They're average. But to me, this is a team that you should handle business with. And hopefully they make the playoffs. But we do got to get into some offseason talk, just because this is a familiar face that is a big name and will be a big addition to the offense next year, and just the fanboy in me has to get to it. So that's going to come up next. DeSean Jackson maybe back in Philly. This is the Lockdown Eagles podcast. All right, so let's get into it, guys. Yes, obviously the talk of the town right now should be the Eagles being a win and a Vikings loss away from making the postseason. But according to John Clark of NBC Philadelphia, some rumors have swirled once again. A little offseason talk for you. Wide receiver for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, DeSean Jackson. You've probably heard the name. Mr. Miracle in the New Meadowlands himself played his first, 5 years? Yeah, with the Eagles before Chip Kelly sent him off and he signed with Washington and just destroyed the Eagles and vowed to kill the Eagles ever since. He wants out of Tampa Bay, and according to John Clark, DeSean wants to be an Eagle again next year. What is this now? It's reunion rumors, season 3, episode 7. When you think back, it all started with the 2017 offseason where DeSean Jackson, remember, he was caught saying maybe he's coming home. He was talking with Carson Wentz after the game where he burned Leotis McKelvin and the Redskins beat the Eagles. And Jackson was a free agent that year, and people were thinking maybe he's going to come back to Philly, who desperately needed receivers at the time, especially a deep threat for a then rookie quarterback in Carson Wentz. He ends up signing with Tampa Bay. Then what we had the summer where that last summer we thought maybe Jeremy Maclin was going to come back, and then this season when they brought back Jordan Matthews, John Clark himself reported that the Eagles might be working out Maclin. They called about McCoy at the trade deadline last year. There were rumors this trade deadline that the Eagles, who obviously need a new starting running back, could be trying to bring back LeSean McCoy. The DeSean Jackson was named. His name was brought up at the trade deadline this year as well. And now we're getting it again. Where, I mean, they just, look, they keep pulling me back in. It hasn't happened, and it still probably isn't very likely that DeSean Jackson joins. I don't know, based on money. We'll see what he's willing to take. The Eagles are going to be pretty restricted with how much money they can spend next year. They have some pieces they might want to bring back, and Jordan Hicks and Brandon Graham, Nelson Aguilar. Maybe they're going to give Carson Wentz a new deal. So we don't know how much money DeSean Jackson would get if he came here, and if that's a big factor. Jackson obviously wanted the cash, and that's why he went to Tampa Bay. To me, Tampa Bay was not a better situation than Philadelphia at all for Jackson. I think it was clear even then Carson Wentz was a better quarterback in 1 year than Jameis Winston has been. I know Winston showed some things early on in his career, but that was really Jackson going to live in Florida and making a crap ton of money. It was basically a paid vacation for 2 years for D-Jax, but Look, it kept breaking my heart every time it happened because the 12-year-old fanboy in me just he can't help himself but come out when we're talking about DeSean Jackson. This is a guy I grew up loving. He was my favorite player on the team. He was electric. He's probably, outside of Jerry Rice, I mean, he's breaking records as one of the best deep threats of all time. I think he is just as a signature home run hitter. So obviously guys like Jerry Rice and Randy Moss, overall talents blow DeSean Jackson away. But as his niche is home run hitting plays, DeSean Jackson is the most electric I've seen to ever do it. And to get him back would still, to me, be big. I think, I mean, obviously the fanboy in me wants him back. I think a lot of Eagles fans would love to see DeSean Jackson back because I feel like it's a redemption story, and I even wrote an article about this when they played DeSean Week 2. It's a redemption story that really never was because I think he was unfairly cut from the team after a career year in 2013, his first year with Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly wanted him gone. You saw that ridiculous article with gang affiliations. Almost, look, he does know people that were affiliated with gangs, people he grew up with, the community he grew up in. It was just something he couldn't really control. And the article almost made it seem like, you know, he was involved with things. And it wasn't, to me, a fair representation of DeSean off the field, because while he's had some run-ins with Andy Reid on the sideline in 2012, and Chip Kelly clearly didn't like him for some reason, I don't know if it was because of his big personality, considering Chip Kelly liked being the only big personality in the building, he only liked robots on his team, so I don't know if it was because of that, but DeSean, for the most part, I feel like has gotten sometimes a reputation that he's kind of a head case, and I really don't think that's the case. Even Jameis Winston this year, the guy that DeSean did not like playing with, Jackson struggled with Winston. He was balling out with Ryan Fitzpatrick earlier this season. With Winston, the guy he really didn't want to play with, Winston even said, though, this year that DeSean Jackson was a great teammate. I think he would fit in well with this Eagles team. They need a deep threat. I think he would open up tremendous things for Nelson Aguilar and Zach Ertz and Alshon Jeffrey. And I've been dreaming about Wentz to DeSean Jackson down the field for 3 years now and counting. So yeah, he hasn't got cut in the first place. That's a big part of maybe wanting him to rewrite the script with the Eagles, kind of end his career on a good note with this team, because right now what he's been since then is he's vowed to destroy the Philadelphia Eagles ever since. And he's done it. He has been the Eagles. There's not been a single player that's given the Eagles more trouble in the past 3 years than DeSean Jackson. And he's still got it, guys. He's still got it. He's averaging 18.9 yards per reception. That's a league high. And you look at some of the games he had this year, the first month of the season, the first game he had 146 yards and 2 touchdowns against the Saints. We saw in the first play of the game he burned Jalen Mills for a 70-yard touchdown. He had 129 yards against the Birds and a score. Then in 2 weeks after that, he had 112 yards. So with Ryan Fitzpatrick this year, he was actually really good down the field. He has not looked like he has lost a step at all. He just turned 32 years old. So look, that's old for that's when you get when you're a skilled player and you're over 30, that's when teams start to want to commit to you less, because you know, especially at running back, but at receiver too, there's a drop off at times. But you know, you see guys like Larry Fitzgerald doing it at age 36. And Fitzgerald, after a while, you could see lost that explosiveness. It's why he had to move to the slot. DeSean Jackson, still one of the most explosive players in the entire NFL. I mean, again, he's averaging a league-high 18.9 yards per reception. And Winston came in, and he just couldn't get Jackson the ball. Ryan Fitzpatrick and DeSean were clicking early this year. Jackson was Pro Football Focus's number one ranked receiver. So he still got it, and I would love to bring him in. Again, money might be an issue, but how great would it be to see a Nelson Aguilar, DeSean Jackson simultaneous fallback celebration into the end zone, right? DeSean made that celebration famous in 2010 against the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. When he scored that big touchdown, he fell back into the end zone, trolling the Cowboys defense. Nelson Aguilar paid tribute to him doing it last year against the Cardinals on that deep bomb, and then he did it again last week against Houston. DeSean Jackson even commented on Aguilar's photo of him falling back in the end zone on Instagram, and I just thought right there reading that, I'm like, man, one of those two is going to be it. If DeSean comes back, one of those two is going to catch a bomb because they're both deep threats, and the other one's going to run up next to him, and they're going to do a simultaneous fallback, and all the feels are going to come up in Eagles Nation, all of them. I might shed a tear. I'm probably going to cry, but it would just be, it'd be really cool to see. And money-wise, again, we'll see. We'll see how much money the Eagles can afford. The cap went up again this year. I don't think they're going to try to re-sign Golden Tate. who is going to be 31. And to me, I'd rather have a guy like Deshaun. I'd rather have, with Nelson Agholor, he's kind of a mix of Deshaun and Golden Tate, where he's a good run after the catch receiver. He's primarily a slot guy, but he's also a deep threat. To me, though, with Agholor, I think Deshaun Jackson complements him more than Golden Tate, because Golden Tate, he really can't play on the outside. He's not a big deep threat, where I think with Deshaun, Jackson can line up in the slot, too. He's done it a lot in Tampa Bay, but on the outside, he's one of the deadliest receivers we've seen in the past decade to take the top off of defense. So, and I think that'll clear things up for Nelson Agholor, whereas right now, Tate and Agholor aren't really complementing each other. I feel like Deshaun and Agholor can both kind of do the same things, right? If they want to get Agholor down the field, not only can they do that in the slot, but maybe they want to do it on the outside. Deshaun can move inside, but you keep Agholor inside, you let him be primarily a slot receiver where he had his most success in 2017, keep Deshaun Jackson primarily on the outside. I love the trio of Alshon Jeffrey, Deshaun Jackson, and Nelson Agholor. With Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert, there are not many teams that have that kind of firepower. And you know the Eagles have been in on deep threats. They brought in Mike Wallace in the offseason. They didn't really get to use him. We'll see if he plays this week, but he's a free agent next year. I'd rather have Deshaun Jackson than Mike Wallace. Obviously, they brought in Torrey Smith last year. They've made a conceded effort to get Wentz a deep threat along with Nelson Agholor. I mean, speed is a big thing here, and they have the size with Alshon, with Ertz, with Goddard, and they want another speedster with Agholor. They tried, actually, trading for Robbie Anderson at the deadline instead of Golden Tate. Robbie Anderson was their first choice. They offered a fourth-round pick to the Jets for Robbie Anderson, and the Jets were smart to turn that down because, to me, I would much rather have Robbie Anderson right now than Golden Tate. But, again, that shows the Eagles are in on a home-run hitting receiver to stretch the field, so they can have Agholor do that more inside and have him do the underneath stuff and get the ball in his hands quicker in the slot where he broke out in 2017. So I understand that, not wanting to make him primarily an outside receiver. So Deshaun could be the guy. I think they expressed mutual interest in the 2017 offseason. I think Deshaun was a little bit pricey for the Eagles. I think they preferred to go with a more well-rounded receiver and a younger receiver if they were going to pay big money to, and Alshon Jeffrey. And that was the right move. Alshon Jeffrey is a wide receiver one. He has even shown this year, I wrote an article on LockedOnEagles.com this week, that Alshon's numbers, they are almost identical to what they were last year. He has a couple more receptions. He's got more yards, less touchdowns, but it's on 20 less targets. I mean, Jeffrey should be having an even better season than he's had if it wasn't for Wentz's injury and Zach Ertz getting the ball a lot more than anybody else. I think they made the right call there, but I do think Deshaun Jackson and the Eagles, I know Deshaun wanted to come back here. If they would have offered him the same money that Tampa Bay did, I think he easily signs with Philadelphia. But I think it was pricey for Philly in an open market, in a free agency that, again, a lot of receivers and skill position players and in cornerbacks, really everyone gets overpaid, right? You saw Kenny Stills get a big contract. Robert Woods got a nice deal. Like, there are receivers that shouldn't get big money. They get big money because when teams are competing with each other, the price is going to go up. Whereas now, more so, it's Deshaun Jackson kind of wanting out of Tampa Bay. And I don't think it's going to be about money this time. I really think he saw the Eagles win the Super Bowl last year, and I think he wanted in on that. I know McCoy and Macklin did because they were at the Falcons playoff game. I think a lot of those guys that used to be with the team with the Andy Reid era, they were close. They think they were close to winning a championship. And I feel like they think if it wasn't for Chip Kelly, they might have been around to help the team last year win that title. I mean, Deshaun was on, I think it was Undisputed, where he was talking about how he was happy for the Eagles to win it all. It was really just Chip Kelly that he had a problem with. But when you saw in his face, I really think that he wished he could have helped the Eagles win a championship. So I think now, if the Eagles offer him maybe a little less money than somebody else, I still think he might just decide to come back here and help this team win a championship. I mean, he would be probably the best third or fourth option in an offense in the NFL. And I don't think he needs the ball a lot. I mean, he is pretty much his entire career, he's done the most damage in small amounts, right? They've been, you know, three receptions for 129 yards and a touchdown, right? I mean, normally a smaller amount of receptions for Deshaun because he's kind of just he's a home run hitter. That's really what he is. But they're always impactful receptions, right? He can have you know, sometimes four catches for 20 yards, just not being able to do a lot because he is limited as a all-around receiver. But then again, he can just have big games, right? There's going to be at least, with DeSean Jackson, four games where he's a monster. And as a third or fourth receiving option, I'll take that all day. So we'll see what DeSean Jackson's priorities are. We'll see what the Eagles' money situation is. But I think this makes sense from a personnel standpoint, just for a not just a personnel standpoint, for a personal standpoint as well, because I think DeSean Jackson would really like to come back. And I think, look, he loves what Carson Wentz was. You know, he was really talking up Wentz in that 2017 offseason. He knows still a lot of the players with the Eagles. I think it would be awesome to bring back DeSean Jackson. If it doesn't happen again, this will be the last time you hear me. I know I'm one of the head guys that likes to continue to push these rumors and continue to talk them up and hope they happen, because these guys can still play. DeSean Jackson at 32, you know, he's an older receiver, but you watch him this year in those first four games in September, destroying defenses, including ours. That's a guy that I still want on our football team that I think could make this team so dangerous, because it's what they haven't had this year. It's just a guy that can just – look, Aguilar has been big in the deep ball game. He has seven receptions of 35-plus yards. But to get a guy like DeSean to help out Aguilar, to add that kind of speed to an offense that primarily is about, you know, lengthy, big targets in Alshon and Ertz and Goddard, I think it would – do wonders for the Eagles next year. They would be a terrifying offense with DeSean Jackson. So I'm hoping for it. Reunion rumors, season 3, episode 7. We'll see if it actually happens this time. The money part is the big one, but I'm rooting for it as a DeSean Jackson fan. And as a objective Eagles analyst, I think it's a good move. I would much rather have DeSean, if you're asking me, over a guy like Golden Tate. So we'll see what happens. We're going to get into another podcast tomorrow after tomorrow. Look, Sunday's the day, guys. It could be, I can't believe it's already week 17. The season has flown by, but the season could continue after next week. And I can't believe that's even really a possibility. When you look at after that Saints game, the Eagles were at 4-6. The Redskins were at what, 6-3? And you're thinking to yourself, there's no way this Eagles team can compete this year. They just aren't even close to being the same football team. Through everything they've gone through, the fact that all they need is a win and a Kirk Cousins choke against Chicago to make the playoffs, I'm feeling good. I think you should be confident. So go Nick Mullins, go Mitch Trubisky, go Trey Burton, Mr. Philly Special himself, and let's hope that we can get the Eagles into the postseason. Starts with Washington. We got to take down Josh Johnson and Adrian Peterson, and then let's hope the Chicago Bears can pull off some magic for the Philadelphia Eagles. That's going to do it for today's edition of Locked On Eagles. Thank you for joining us. Follow all our Twitter accounts at Locked On Birds, at DBSCLOE, and at Gino_LOE to keep the conversation going. Check out all our written pieces, some good stuff over at the mothership, LockedOnEagles.com. Please subscribe to the show. We appreciate a 5-star review as well. If you could, we appreciate everyone's feedback on the Locked On Eagles podcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. We'll see you tomorrow. Let's go, Birds. Let's make the playoffs, baby.